So today, Mi'ot Hashem, we're going to finish off the last pasuk in Hosea. And maybe if we have time, we'll begin. It's not on. If we have time, we'll begin Sefer Yoel. Okay, here we go. The last pasuk of Hosea, we began last week, end of last week on Friday. We began, Mi, it's a challenge. The Hosea challenge, the Klal Yisrael. Mi chacham v'yavinel, who is the wise man? We just began to touch upon the Mefarshim. We'll go over here very quickly. Mi chacham v'yavinel. Last pasuk, page 208, Perek Yudalit pasuk Yud. Last pasuk of Sefer Hosea. Mi chacham v'yavinel, who is the wise man amongst all of you, amongst Klal Yisrael? The yavinel understands the ideas presented in this Sefer. All of the ideas presented by Hosea. Novain, who is the person? The word me is to be repeated. Who is the Novain? Who is the Chacham and who is the Novain? Stand up, raise your hand. Who is the Novain? V'yei do'eim. And let it be known to him.
What does Eila mean?
Eila means these words. These words referring to the entire Sefer. All of the words of Hosea. All 14 Perakim. Who is the wise man understands Eile, these words? Eile hadvarim. Eile hadvarim asher divrei Moshe. These are the words that Moshe spoke. Who understands the words that we've discussed? Novain, who is the wise, discerning man? V'yedoeim. V'yedoeim means, and let it be known to him. Let these words be known to him. And what should it be known? The summary of the entire Sefer is, ki yeshorim darchei Hashem. The ways of Hashem are yoshar, are straight. V'tzadikim yelchubam, tzadikim, they go in the ways of Hashem. Ufoyshem, sinners, yikashluvam, stumble in the ways of Hashem. Obviously, these words are subject to many interpretations. Let's start with the basics. Mitzudos, we didn't learn all that much last week inside, so we'll review again. Let's see, Pasuk Gimel in the Mitzudos, page 209. Pasuk Yud on the very, very bottom. Mi chacham ke hasimoy divrei toich choysav omar. Mi shu chacham yavin eile hadvarim. Okay, these words. Okay, so the words eile go back on dvarim. Okay, I can do it myself. It's okay. Baruch Hashem, I can do it myself. Who understands these words? What words are we referring to? These words, seemingly, the words go back on the entire Sefer. If he is discerning, to have a greater degree of Chachma, we discussed last week the four different expressions mentioned over here. Chachma, Bina, and then another form of bino called Novoin, and then Dea. And we mentioned it's one word that's missing. Which the word that's missing? Haskel. Okay, so mitoch davar yeda v'yaskel asher darchei Hashem. Here is yaskel, he'll davar, he'll be able to understand. Asher darchei Hashem heima yishorim. Okay, so I told you that Eila goes back to everything that we mentioned before. He'll understand the ways of Hashem are yashar. Ein bohem niftol v'ikesh. We did this last week. There's no crookedness. Two words which mean the same thing. V'tzadikim yelchubam b'derech mahalcham mibli ki shaloin. They live the life without stumbling. Avol ha'poishim yikash lubam. By those who are sinners, they stumble in these words. Ki ilu hoye bohem makam nispol v'ikesh. As if the words of Torah are crooked. Their yetzahara caused them to pervert, to corrupt the ways. The tzaddikim, they go in a straight derech. The words of the mitzvah, I don't have any more clarity this week than last week, are a bit vague. I don't have clarity. Let's just see the Rashi again. Well, maybe we'll review who we learned last week. Rashi, last pasuk, mi yochacham v'yavin eile, mi chacham v'chem v'yisponin l'osei slev l'chol eile. V'yashuv Eli, who is the wise amongst you that has paid attention to everything that we've discussed in this Sefer 14 Perakim? And what is the result? What is the message? To do teshuvah. Upayshem yikash lubam b'shvilam, because of the mitzvahs they stumble. Al shloiholchu bohem. Kain tirgim yoinesan. the stumbling is because they did not go in the ways of Hashem. That is what we call over here a michshal, a stumbling block. The only thing that I wish to review later, we learned last week, is I told you there are two different approaches to life. Life is like a video game. There are two types of video games. There are video games where you search out treasures. And there are video games where you have to reach a destination and avoid obstacles. How does one look at the Taryag Mitzvahs? Are they opportunities or are they obstacles in life? Does the person have a desire to have the person have his own agenda in life? My agenda is to succeed, to be wealthy, to have honor, respect, and satisfy my own desires. Problem is, Hashem put in my way 613 obstacles. I have to maneuver my life not to stumble on these obstacles. Shabbos, I have to somehow lobby the government to allow me to get off of Shabbos. Gezel or Ribbis, Gezel, I have to figure out solutions to avoid the 613 mitzvahs Hashem put in my way. Or do you look life? Life is a treasure hunt. Each one of the Tayag mitzvahs is an opportunity, is a treasure. It is something of value. That's exactly what it's saying over here. The tzaddikim yelchu bam. Their quest in life is to seek out these 613 opportunities to enhance their neshama, to prepare for the next world. The paishim, the sinners, they have no intent to take advantage of these opportunities. They have their own agenda. They have their own destination, whatever it may be, their own desires to satisfy themselves in this world and the Orthodox Jews. So if you're an Orthodox Jew, you have to be faithful. You have to avoid the 613 obstacles in life. If your attitude is, it's an obstacle course, you'll never, ever make it. If your attitude in life is 613 mitzvahs or opportunities, that's yoshar, that's yashrus, ki yesharim, darchei Hashem. Okay, that's really the summary we did on Friday. Now we can go on to more ideas, starting with the Radak. Radak, Pasuk Yud, mi chacham v'yavin eile, who is the wise man? The word Hena goes back on everything that he said in the Sefer. And over here the Radak says everything in the Sefer pretty much is a toichacha, is Musar. Toichacha, it's interesting, the word toichacha is not what we would expect to be the correct word. Toichacha is really is a curse, right? We have the toichachas. Okay, toichacha, we really would assume it's a Musar. But I guess in the terminology of the Radak, the word...
It's harsher than
that. What?
It's harsher than
that. Right, Toichacha is rebuke. The reason why I'm saying this is because recently there was a video when a person was talking about an individual, and he said this person, we were his students, and he would give us Toichacha. And the people who were watching this video with me said, that's not the right word. How could the editor allow that to enter into the presentation? The word is, he gave us Musa. Teichacha means curses. He cursed us. This person didn't curse. They were Talmidim praising the Rebbe. And they were saying the Rebbe was such a good Rebbe. He did this and this. And he gave us a lot of Teichacha. So the person there says, oy, how could they publicly say such a thing? This is not, if I was the editor, I would never allow this into the final edition. It's not the right word. Musar is the right word, not toichacha, curse. But yet, so when you say Sefer Hoshea, is it curses? Chas v'sholem. They're cursed, and there's Moshe Rabbeinu, there's toichacha, and we have toichacha, and the early four toichachas, right? Once we spoke about this, the toichacha of Chumash, of Parashas Kisavoy, the Teichacha of Bichul Kaisai, the Teichacha of Vo'es Hanan, what we lay on Tisha B'Av, and the Teichacha of Nitzavim, in Parashas Nitzavim. And Michal, you were not here for that.
You
11 Aruns? What? No, not the Arurim. The Arurim? Arur
is in Kisovo.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's not part of the Teichacha. That's right. Not part of the Teichacha.
So isn't there 99 Klavos?
All together, yeah.
It may be framed in terms of a curse, but it's not a curse per se.
Okay.
It's a warning.
Okay, so
if you do not, then
such and such. Okay, so over here, the word, it's an interesting way he uses this word. It's not the word that we would expect it, but it's obviously it means the words of Musa that Hoshea has given Klal.
We've also said that Hoshea is the
harshest.
And harshest.
Okay, he's the harsh of all the prophets.
It's more appropriate for him to say it of Hoshea's words than of others. Maybe.
Okay, it's true. Definitely true. Okay, the next word, the Radak are ki yisharim darchei Hashem, loy ka oisam sha'imim loy yitochin derech Hashem. Not like those who say the ways of Hashem are not correct. Kamosh nema b'yicheskel ki im toshuvu b'tshuva shleimo loy si zocharno lochem toyavo seichem harishay nois. If you do teshuva, Hashem will forgive you for your past sins. V'tzadikim yelchubam, tzadikim go in these ways, ki yakiru v'yedu ki kol derochav mishpat, that tzadikim recognize all of the ways of Hashem are just, v'yim yiru tzadik v'ra loy, oirosho v'toiv lo, if a person witnesses in his lifetime, tzadik v'ra loy, oirosho v'toiv lo, yachshvu ki yakol emes v'derech yosho m'yokel yisparach. This is the most difficult thing to live with,
yeah.
The question which Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem, ha'reni no es derochecha.
What is the
Hosea's fault
if the people didn't understand?
Why? It's hard. It's very hard.
To the point he's saying it's
Arishus. Arishus?
He didn't understand. A normal person, we assume everyone's a tzaddik. It's a guy who doesn't understand and he deliberately did not want to understand.
He chooses not to understand.
He's telling everybody a number of times in whatever way he's saying it. And they hear him talking and they ignore him. They make fun of it and they refuse to accept it.
The Radak here is saying something very deep, very profound. The Radak is picking up on the word tzaddik. What does it mean over here, tzaddikim yelchubam? Let's see the Radak here is learning something very deep into this pasuk. The Radak says, ki atzaddik, that's the second line. Okay, the second line into the Radak of the tzaddikim. Ki atzadik she'anu royim ulai enoi tzadik b'liboy, k'mo shehu b'nireh. When a person sees a tzadik suffer, so why does he suffer? So one possibility is he's not really a tzadik. He appears to be a tzadik on the outside, but in secret, his behavior is not 100%. V'okel boichen lei v'choike koloyos. The ribayin shalaylam, he's the one who investigates a person's heart and inspects his kidneys, which means his ideas. The kidneys is what gives a person advice. Or perhaps the reason why the tzaddik is suffering, it's an investment. Hashem is investing in a tzaddik by causing him to suffer in this world to increase his reward for the next world. That's the world of reward. When a person witnesses a wicked person and has been successful, ulai also kitzos toivos umeshalim loyokel yisbrach b'chayov. Maybe this is why he has good is because Hashem is paying off him in this world. Kedei sheyoyvad b'roiv rishoy loyolam haba. He should not be rewarded in the next world, so that in the next world he should be fully punished. K'moish amar b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu lo v'shalom umeshalim lisoynov el ponov lehavidoy. Hashem pays off a wicked person in this world, in order to destroy him, to deny him the benefit from the next world. Now, what have we taken so far from the Radak? The Radak is saying something very different than Rashi and the Mitzudos, because both Rashi and the Mitzudos learn the psukim, the pasuk, to mean we are addressing a person, and we're telling the person, follow the mitzvahs of Hashem. We're not telling you to look at other people. We're giving you instructions. We're giving you, we're presenting a person with mitzvahs, and we're telling you, if you want to be a good person, follow the mitzvahs. If you don't want to be a good person, then you will be a posheya. And then because you will not observe the mitzvahs, you will stumble. That's Rashi and the Mitzudos. That's not what the Radak is saying. The Radak is discussing an observer. We have a person who is observing other people in this world, and he sees tzaddik v'ra loy. It troubles him. Why does this person suffer? this is a good person. I know the person well. Everything about him tells me he is a righteous person. Why does Hashem bring upon him such pain? So therefore, the pasuk over here is telling the observer, we're not speaking to the participant. We're not speaking to the person who is actually involved in doing the Torah and the mitzvahs. We're speaking to an observer who will later one day become a participant. Don't second guess Hashem. When you see a tzaddik who suffers, you have to acknowledge Hashem's ways are yosha. Either Hashem is punishing him for a minor indiscretion in order to preserve him, in order to reward him in the next world, or to give him even more reward in the next world. It's an investment. Or maybe what you think, this that you think he's a tzaddik, maybe he's not really a tzaddik. You do not know the depth of what goes on in the person's mind and heart. You know, we discussed this last week, and it's just a very interesting point. We discussed last week about a person who really does not know where he stands in emunah. A person can fool himself and think that he's a maimon. He can daven 3 times a day, he can learn sifrei musar, he can fast, but the person doesn't really know how he will react if, rachmana litzlan, he has a nesayon in life. There are people who have spent their whole life as tamimim, yesharim, and then rachmana litzlan, when they have a difficult period in life, they can't deal with it. Lo, 100% lo yoleinu, lo lidei nesayon, v'lo lidei v'zayon. But when it comes to the olam ha'emes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees deeply down inside where he was really holding. How does a person really know in this world where he's holding?
He doesn't get a report card.
You don't get a report card. And to be tested, chas v'shalom. We must smile every single day that Hashem should not test us, give us a nesayon where our emunah in Hashem will be tested. So how then does a person really know, go through life, really know where he's holding? Hey, you can fool yourself your whole life thinking you're a maimon, and had Rachmana Litzlan, the person, been in the Nisayon, he wouldn't survive one day. So what's the answer? So Chazal say, the answer is how you deal with money. Money is the laboratory of emuna. If a person sees that he's always trying to avoid paying taxes, always looking for every possible kunz to get out of paying his debts, is looking to cheat, to steal, he's not ethical in money, that is a telltale sign that his emuna is not 100%. And if Rachmana Litzlan, he would be in a situation where Hashem would test him, he would not pass the test. How do you know this? When a person comes to Shemayim, what do they say to him? Nosata v'nososa be'emuna. Did you deal honestly in business? The word emuna would appear to be a very poor choice of words. We would expect in Shemayim, they would say, did you deal with emes? Did you deal with your fellow men with yosher, with tzedek? There are no shortage of words that we on our own would select to substitute for the word emuna. In the common man in society, when you say the word emuna, they don't think about money. They think about our relationship with Hashem, with Golos, difficulties in life, parnasa, children, shiduchim, money. Dealing honestly in business ethics, who would ever use the word emuna in regard to business ethics? It's the last thing on our minds. You know, today, today you go into the Svarim, so there's literally a flood, a fire hydrant of Svarim being published on emuna, like never before. Every day there's a new sefer someone is publishing on emuna. Almost, you go through these Svarim, it's very rare, if almost non-existent, to find in all of these new books that are published today on emuna, to find a discussion of business ethics. That the way you deal with your fellow man in business, being honest, paying off your debts, and not trying to find some kunz to outsmart your next guy, to rip someone off, or not to be 100% honest, has anything to do with emunah. And yet in Shemayim, that is the word that they selected in Shemayim to ask the person, were you honest in your business affairs? Obviously, money. I saw this, the Gedolim, they write about this, they talk about this, is that is the laboratory of Emuna. A person who is honest in business, that is a simon muvok, that is a minor. When he is able to avoid, when he's able to take advantage of other people, and in Momon, and he does not do so, and he's truly honest, that is a real, true sign of Emuna. And a person wants a litmus test to know where it's holding in Emuna between Adam Lamakim, that is the place to look in how you deal in business ethics. Business matters and business ethics. So here, the Radak is telling us is that when this Pasuk is addressing, it's very important you saw the Radak, the Pasuk here, with Tzadikim Yelchu Bam, the Pasuk is not addressing the participant. The Pasuk is addressing the observer, who will one day be a participant. But he's right now looking at the world. He's studying history. He's looking at his chaverim. He's looking at people that he knows. And he sees good, good, solid people. They suffer. They suffer things that are just beyond a person's imagination. How do you deal with it? So the Hoshea is challenging this person. He's telling this person, you have to understand. You have to, the Yeido Aim, it has to be clear to you. Yesharim Darkei Hashem. Hashem's ways are Yosha. You have to know that what you see is not what Hashem sees. Hashem has a plan. Either the person is not the tzaddik that you think he is, or the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is investing in his Olam Haba, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu is removing, purging from him through these Yisurim some minor indiscretion, in order that he will not need to deal with this issue when he comes to the next world.
But so, it could be just the opposite. Maybe a person is successful because maybe he's really bad in this world and God is...
That's what he goes on to say. He says the flip side. He says the flip side. People who are successful, it's not because they're tzaddikim. It can very well be that they're not tzaddikim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is paying them off in this world. That's what he quotes the Pasuk in Aseret Hadibros.
So does that mean that you think that way? You're supposed to think.
No, the Pasuk is telling you, stand down. To live a life of tmimus. To live a life, it's very hard in this world. This unfortunately, is like I always tell you, is the very big problem that today a lot of the techniques of Emunah are cop-outs. Today they're trying to try everyone, today they're, instead of telling people that they just don't think, be work, it's very hard. It's very hard to be a tamim, to have Emunah. Don't have any questions, don't think, just have just pure, simple faith. Today, it doesn't work for us. Many people, they want answers. And the answers are very unsatisfying. You're a Gilgal, you've done Averos in your past lifetime, and therefore now you have to suffer the consequences, or it's because you're the name, your mazel is a bad mazel. We're always looking for these crazy answers. And if it change your name and do this and this ayin hara, and these answers, they're very satisfying when you look at someone else. I always tell you, for someone else, it's very easy to say, oh, you know why you're suffering? You are a Gilgal. But when Rachmana Litzlan, you're the one who's suffering, it doesn't work. It's telling me that I'm a Gilgal does not take away the pain. It does not help me one bit. It's very good. I look at him. Oh, he's suffering. He has suffered a very great tragedy. No, he's a Gilgal. That's why he was born under a bad mazel. It's because his parents gave him the wrong name. The name that he has, it's not a Yiddish name. It's a name. That's why he's suffering. It's very easy for you, when you look at someone else, to have reasons. And then when it comes to yourself, you say to yourself, all of those reasons, You won't stand a day. So what's the only thing which ultimately gives you satisfaction? Emuna peshuta. Don't ask questions. The Ribbono Shel Olam has his agenda, has his plan.
Despite the horrible things that are happening here.
How else can you deal with it? There is no way. When the day is over, the only way is emuna peshuta. Plain, simple faith. I trust in the Ribbono Shel Olam. There is a reason. I have no understanding why it is. Ki loy machshevoy sai, machshevoy seichem, v'lo darcheichem dirochai. We really don't know. We really have no way of knowing. And when we live in a world where we have to have answers, and we give answers, and a lot of books today are very frightening. They give answers. They give answers. But the answers are all very satisfying when it comes to someone else's tzaras. The answers are not very satisfying when it comes to your own problems. And therefore, the Radak here is telling you exactly that. The Radak over here is telling you, don't settle for a second-rate approach to emuna. The only emuna is emuna shuta. That's the only approach. Even stories are very unsatisfying, because for every one story you can tell me of incredible things look so horrible, and at the end it all worked out for the good, and yet you have libraries of stories like this, incredible stories of, it's one of the very big techniques today in emuna. It's a very big technique. It's probably the most popular technique is to produce stories of situations where people were just in the mud, and then, wow, everything turned around, and everything just worked out, and what you thought was no good turned out to be a blessing. There's a very big problem with these stories, because for every one story where it worked out very well for one person, there are 100 more people who are in exactly the same situation, and it didn't work out.
But you see, the Gemara relates the story about Rabbi Akiva, not Chanuch Gamzu.
Yeah, it's right. So that's just a technique in order to have emunah, and Hashem knows what He's doing. Hashem knows what He's doing. In this instance, we were able to see it.
Right.
But not. Don't expect the same way it worked out for him, right, it's going to work out for me. I personally believe it's a very big disservice, this approach,
right,
this approach today, which has become an epidemic, almost.
You're learning to ask.
What?
In learning, you're supposed to ask.
Questions.
And then for everything else, you're supposed to just ignore it and not ask?
No, not yet. You're supposed to have a moon. There's a balance. There has to be.
You have balance.
The key word is balance. You have to ask. You have to explore. You have to understand. You have to delve deep, 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 deep down. But if you get the answer, wonderful. But if you don't get the answer, don't go in with an attitude. The attitude is that if I'm not going to get the answer, I'm going to throw it all away. The attitude is there is a reason. One has to have emuna, which is extremely difficult. No, there's nothing to make believe. But if the whole approach is stories, everything's going to work out, everything does work out, and look at what happened to this guy, look at that guy. Yeah, it worked out for him. And what about another 100 people who did not work out for? Like, I like reading these stories of Holocaust survival. They're amazing. They really are. They're awesome. The Milo Mederech HaTeva. But do you notice that in these Holocaust survival stories, the person who survived was surrounded by thousands of people who didn't survive, who were going through exactly the same thing. So why didn't, were they bigger, less maminim than this person? If they would have survived, they would have written the same book. Maybe their book would have been even bigger, even more inspirational than this person's book. So exactly right. So it's wonderful, and it's. I'm not coming to deny the inspiration. It doesn't take away, of course not. Chas v'shalom. It doesn't take away, but it's not the only answer. The bottom line is what the Radak says. The Radak says, don't second guess Hashem. When everything is said and done, the only solution to emun is ki yisharim darchei Hashem. The ways of Hashem are yashar, and don't expect to understand. The Radak says, Tzadik, the Radak says the way it is. Tzadik viraloi rasha v'toivloi. When Moshe asked Hashem, Tzadik viraloi rasha v'toivloi, Moshe was not referring to the people who at the end it worked out for. Moshe, when he said Tzadik viraloi, was not referring to the people who went to the Holocaust and survived. His question was about the people who went to the Holocaust and did not survive. Okay, he's not talking about the people who lived to talk about it and to write the books. That was not Moshe's question. I'm asking you, Hashem, the tzaddik v'ralo, those who did not survive.
Even the ones who survived, they lost their whole families and everything.
There, the baggage is not to be believed. There's no question. The collateral damage is off the charts. It's just a single prat. The survival is a teeny, teeny little microscopic dot of their success and the inspiration, which we draw from. Of course, we draw from. But the Radak really hits nail on the head. It's really a response to, unfortunately, an approach which is very popular today. And it's very good. I'm not chashom denying anything. I've noticed how there's just a flood of these types of swam that have been coming out lately. And in fact, there was a very good article. We went in Dialogue. There's a journal called Dialogue. Okay, it's a little bit nasty. And they haven't published another volume in a long time. I wonder why. Hasn't published, and he actually brings out this point. He takes a collection of svarim, of books on Emuna that have been published very recently, and he really takes them to task. He takes them to test exactly what I'm telling you right now. And he really challenges, is this really a proper approach to inspire people in the ways of Emuna? It's a letdown. It's like you take a cup of sugar. It builds you up. You know, it builds you up. You take a drink with a lot of sugar. It really builds you up. And then what happens 10 minutes later? You really come crashing down. It is not a type of Emuna that can sustain a person in the long term. The long-term emuna that sustains a person is to know what the Radak says, ki yisharim darchei Hashem. There is such a reality in this world of tzaddik viraloi, and we have to stand down, and we don't understand Hashem. Hashem's ways are beyond us, as we say it every time in the Sibun Haftarah, ki loy darcheichem ki loy machshavosai machshavoseichem. That's all it says among the Nevi'im. You're not going to find any Navi that says you're a Gilgal. You're not going to find it. You're just not going to find any Pasuk in Tanakh where a Navi says to Klal Yisrael, the reason why you're suffering is because you're a Gilgal. The Navi says either you're suffering because you deserve it, you've done Averos, or we don't understand Hashem's ways. Ki Yisharim Darchei Hashem. That's all you have in the Sefer Nevi'im. No Gilgulim. That's the way it is. And it's just very sad. I was by a wedding, and a guy says to me, I don't know, he's a smart, intelligent person, and he says to me, your problems are because you're a Gilgal. And he says, the Chofetz Chaim said this. So I did. I exploded. I gave him a piece of my mind. I said, Chofetz Chaim, nowhere. He doesn't say it. He says it in an obscure place. I says in the Mishnah Berurah, in his halachic svarim, there is absolutely no mention of such a concept. He says it derech agav somewhere in some obscure place, which is not obviously he meant it as an approach to a way to live. All right, enough said. Next. Understanding. We'll leave. Very good. He's saying very good. Very good.
You don't need to say seichel is only for people who are looking for answers because they don't get it and it bothers them too much. If you have the moon of pshuta, you don't need seichel.
Rambam says the tachlis haidia sheneda sheloi neda.
Yeah.
The tachlis of knowledge is to know that you don't know. The more you know, then that is true for emuna as well. The more we delve into the ways of Hashem to understand Tzadik v'raloi, then what's the more we think we understand, the greater we search in the ways of it's shloi neda. We come to the conclusion we really do not know, and it's demanding. It's very demanding.
It is human nature to say why me.
Yes, of course it is. Of course it's healthy. It's healthy. You should say why me, and you should question. You should look deeply to understand why things are happening and look back in your life and put all the pieces together. There has to be a balance. The key word is balance. But when everything is skewed in one way and there's an answer to every single question, that's a disservice. There has to be a balance.
Why do you say the inspiration story is counter-narrative?
Because it's the ikkar. The approach today is this is the ikkar. This is the primary. There's very little emphasis on what the Radak says. Is when everything is said and done, you have to stand down and recognize that we don't understand why things happen, and yet, it is demanded of us as being Shomrei Torah Mitzvos, the Bnei Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, to have Emuna Pshut in Hashem. And the time to teach that is when you're very, very young. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. And if you teach, the time to teach that is in elementary school, when you, children, and if in elementary school everything is presented as is inspirational stories and it always works out for the good, and this one survived, that one survived, and not to train a young person, to train a person's mind when he has the energy and the will to develop the midah of emunah pshuta is, in my worthless opinion, it is a very great disservice to a person. It's a very great disservice to a person to put the emphasis on it. Also, it always works out. It's always going to be good. It always works out for the good. And there's no such thing as a person not getting what he wants when the day is over. You're always going to be satisfied. You're always going to have pleasure. It's always going to work out for your benefit. It's not true.
When I always took my kids to Israel for the first time, they were 5 and 8. And I asked someone if I should take them to Yad Vashem. And they said, yes, take them there.
Of course, take them there. And they were certain, the age, like, a lot of the Mechanech, they have a lot of rules of when children should go to a Levaya. Yeah. I think the rule in the elementary school is 8 or 9. That a child generally, every child is different, but generally the general rule of thumb is that until a child is 8 years old, it's better he should not go to a funeral, especially if it's not someone that a very close a parent, something like that. So it's like, you know, so there's a person whoever in the community he knows in shul. There's something assumed that it's not healthy. But after 8 years old, 9 years old, well, no, that's already the time when he has to be trained to deal with this. Everything there, they're professionals.
Right.
They're professionals who know the rules. And of course, there are exceptions. They're very bright children, very all different types of children. There are exceptions. But it's a very important thing to appreciate there should be a balance. There should be a balance. That's always the key word, not to emphasize stories, inspirational stories. There are questions which have no answers. Okay, next words of the Malbol. The sinners, they stumble in the ways of Hashem. What does that mean? What does the Radak say? The last paragraph. The sinners, they say, Ein Mesader Manik Olam. Because they said there is no one that is guarding the world. There is no Hashkacha. They name B'derech Yosha. And the Sparkle's ways are not Yosha. Ki Atzadik Yevo Enu Ra. When the Poshea, the person does not want to have faith in Hashem when he witnesses that a person suffers. He says, the harasha, he sees that a tzaddik suffers, and the wicked people of the harasha, yivoenu toiv, lefichu, therefore, einam shav merisham, they refuse to do teshuva. The yelchu acharei tavas, when they go, they abandon everything, they follow their tavas, v'yikashlu v'yodedu, and they stumble in this world, and they are destroyed. Period. The Adoni of Izal Perash, Upashim Yikoshlu Bom, he has the interpretation, Kasho Yeshuvu HaPashim Udachi Hashem, Vlohoyu, now this is a whole new interpretation, is that a person, that in order to succeed in serving Hashem, it requires a lot of practice. It does not happen overnight. He's giving advice, you might as well get a head start. Don't wait to do Teshuvah, when Mashiach comes. Because when Mashiach comes, okay, then when I see the light, I'll get with the program. It's too late. It takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of practice in order to get in the rhythm of doing the mitzvahs in the correct way. And if you get a late start, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. So therefore, he says over here, the Radak's father is very interesting interpretation, Kasha Yashuva HaPoishim, when the sinners do tshuva. Eventually, it's going to happen. Everyone's going to be choizer b'shuva. But when the sinners do tshuva l'darkei Hashem v'lo hoyu regil mochem k'may atzadikim, but they have no experience, yikashlu bohem. They're going to make a lot of mistakes. To Adam she'eino yodei haderech, like a person does not know. If you don't know how to go, if you don't know how to go to Lakewood, and you go, you don't have ways, you go the first time, you're going to get lost. You know how many times it took me to learn how to go to Lakewood? How many mistakes I made? Every possible wrong turn you can possibly make. It takes a lot of practice. Learning how to go to Boston, how to go to Lakewood, it takes a lot of practice. And therefore, when it comes to Nyanei Ruchnis,
just keep going to the right. Every turn to the right,
you'll get Kol Pina Shata, yeah, you'll end up. You'll end up in Wisconsin. Do that. So you ka adam sheina yodea haderech v'zen emar la poishim shalibam oy baderech pesham, the wicked people when they're still doing averos. Ah, therefore it's telling a person, you anyway going to do teshuva, you might as well get started, get some good practice now. And you know the true Nuhunu, he says the same thing, Rashi in Parashas Eker is something shocking. And Rashi says that when you're in Chutz Li'aretz, everyone struggles with these words of Rashi. What does Rashi really mean? Rashi is in Kriya Shema. Is in the parish of Kriya Shema that a person should do mitzvahs in Chutz Li'aretz, so that when you come, when Mashiach comes, and you come to Eretz Yisrael, you'll have a lot of practice. Rashi seems to imply that really there's no need, there's no reason why you should do mitzvahs in Chutz Li'aretz. And the example he gives, according to our gears, is tefillin and mezuzah. You should put up a tefillin, you should wear a tefillin every single day, and you should have mezuzahs on your house, so you should be accustomed to these mitzvahs, and by example, this is only by example, all the mitzvahs, so that when the day will come, when we go back to Eretz Yisrael, live in Eretz Yisrael, you'll know what tefillin are. You'll know how to put them on. You'll know how to write them. You'll know what a mezuzah is. You'll know where to put it on the door. So practice while you are in Golos the mitzvahs, so that when you come, when the Gula comes, you come to Eretz Yisrael, you'll know how to do the mitzvahs. And that's a shocking thing to say, because according to Halacha, all the mitzvahs that we do in Chutz Li'aretz, we don't have a choice. It's not a matter of practice. You have an obligation to do so. So what does Rashi mean? Everyone struggles with this Rashi, but on one level it means, even though indeed it's true that we do the mitzvahs, we mechuyiv to the mitzvahs, but we're not fooling ourselves. We recognize that we do not appreciate the depth of what a mitzvah really is. We wear tefillin. Do we really appreciate what the tefillin are? Do we really appreciate the depth of tefillin? We don't really appreciate what it's all about. The only way we can fully appreciate what a mitzvah is all about is with the coming of Mashiach, with the Hashras Hashchina. So Hashem is telling us, giving us chizik, you mechuyiv to wear the tefillin. But I want to be mechazek you. Don't just wear the tefillin because I'm telling you to wear the tefillin. Wear the tefillin as a preparation. Try the best you can to appreciate the tefillin now, because the more you appreciate, the more you can work on appreciating the tefillin now, the more it will be a tool, an advantage for you when Mashiach comes, to gain much, much deeper insight to what this mitzvah is all about. It's Rashi and Chumash. Next, Ach Hashem B'Lev Shalom, those that do real tshuva, Elokehem Yazreim, those who do real tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them the siyata d'shmaya, kidei shelo yikoshlu, that they should not stumble. V'yatzadikim b'minhagam, yelchu derech selula v'yishar, the tzadikim, they go on a paved road. A tzaddik who observes the mitzvot, they never make mistakes. Well, not never, but their mistakes can be corrected. Then he quotes Yonis, at the end of a very high note, V'tzadikayo dehalichu behoin yechoin behoin oin l'chaya olma. So he learns here, Yelchu bam, according to the Targum, Yonis' son, that the tzaddikim will merit chaye ha'olam haba. Yelchu bam, go on this way. What is the way? The way to Olam Haba, Virashiaya, and the wicked, Yikosh Lubam, they stumble in the mitzvahs, and he adds in the words, it leads them to Gehenim. Yismasrun Ligehinam, they are given over to Gehenim, Al Dolo Halichun Hon, before not having gone in the ways of Hashem. Okay, so this is the parish of the Radak, a very beautiful parish, telling us, not like Rashi and the Mitzudos, we're dealing with the observer. You look at this world, it is the most painful thing to witness, tzaddik v'ralei rasha v'tovloi. When everything is said and done, you have to stand down and recognize that ki loy machshavosai machshavoseichem v'loy darchechem d'rochoi. Hashem demands of us emuna peshuta. And all of the inspiration that we can derive in this world from witnessing miracles and witnessing unusual hashgacha pratis, it's all nothing more than a tool to come to a level of emuna pshuta. Because the more, the deeper you delve into the ways of Hashem, the result will always take you to one conclusion. The conclusion is, we need to come on to emuna pshuta. And the third, then the last parish he gives, the name of his father, is, we're dealing with Klal Yisrael. Hosea is telling us the end, we're anyway going to all do teshuva, so you might as well get some good practice. Because if you're not going to get some good practice now, when the Mashiach will come, you're going to be very embarrassed. You're not going to know how to learn a Daf Gemara. You're not going to know how to do the mitzvahs. So get with the program now. It's to your advantage so that you should not stumble in the ways of Hashem when you ultimately are makabel the oil of Hashem in the times of Mashiach. It's to our advantage that we should prepare in advance. Now let's go to the Malbum, very beautiful Malbum. Okay, mi chacham pasuk in the Malbum on the bottom. Mi chacham achachma hi hamukubeles. He goes into some of his ideas. The Malbum is famous for this. Tries to differentiate between chachma, bina, das, seichel, all the various terms. We'll run through very quickly what he writes. Chachma hi hamukubeles. Chachma is something which is a known fact. It's basically an established fact. It's not something that you have to bring out. Okay, there are things a person has to derive on his own. In this, the Malbum is one of many interpretations. Don't take what he says to be the only interpretation. The Malbum says the translation of Chachma Mi is established facts. Give, it's a given. In science, you deal with givens. You have a given, and you use the givens, and you extrapolate to be mechadesh, to come up with novel ideas. And sometimes the ideas are proven, scientifically proven as correct, and sometimes they remain nothing more than a theory. It's not an absolute. You can say like this, I could say like this. We could have a respectful disagreement if this idea, this theorem, is correct. So the Malbum says, well, what are the givens? In the world of science, there are certain facts, established facts that are undisputable. That is chokhmah. Chokhmah are the established facts. Ha-chokhmah hi ha-mikubeles, something that has been established. V'habina hi ma she'odam motzi dover mitoch dover. V'yuchal ha'odam l'chavin mitoch bina soy gam b'dvarim sh'in boi kabola me'ra voisav. There are certain things that are not established. And a person now is coming to present a novel idea. And the novel idea only comes from analyzing the facts. Now, is his novel idea correct? Is it a given? Will it be accepted into the collection? What's the correct word we call it? The corpus?
The corpus.
Will the body of accept? Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But at least at the moment when it's presented, it's novel. That's called Bina. Bina is a chiddush. A chiddush. That's what he learns, the Bina. We compare things in our mind. Shiyasa adam al pi hadvarim habinuyim al hamuskolois, rishonois, vehamuchashois. Things that are sense, things which are logical. Omnam. But now what about something which we have no, the seichel has no, mavoi means path. In this way, kmo lodas hanhagas hashem hashkachas v'chol in yonei ho'elukus, I efshar sheyivineim ha'odam yiseichel imlo yeishloi hakdomois mikubolois shvikil b'darkei ha'chochma kmo ha'pinas ha'toy riois, the cornerstones of the Torah. V'hamunois, and the faith, shekibel mipi hanavim. So what we're saying over here is that emuna and yedias Hashem is not part of bina. It's part of basically chokhmah. It's an established fact, but it's a fact that cannot be proven. It's something which is only known through faith. Who is the Chacham that understands this? So I think what he's saying over here is that who is the person of faith? We're calling faith a Davar Chachmah. You're not going to be able to prove it.
So, you know, philosophers debate what is knowledge. The ones who believe purely in the scientific method believe that's the only way to attain knowledge is through that method. But here, what he's saying is what others say, that there are additional ways to know, to have das, and that's what he's describing.
Well, that's faith, what it means, intuition,
whatever you want to call it.
Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. The beginning of Chachma, it fits very well according to the Malbim. It's a fact. It's a given. Can you prove this given? No, you can't. That's what he's coming to Mechadish. In the world of science, there are givens, and they can be proven. You can prove 1 plus 1 equals 2. That's an undisputable fact in the world of science. It's a given. So there's nothing to discuss.
Well, it's nothing to prove either. It's a given.
Okay, that's another dimension. In the world of science, you prove it, and by proving it, it becomes the given. In the world of spirituality, there are givens. Those givens right. have not been proven.
Right.
Those givens are faith.
Right.
We accept it those as a matter of faith.
Those are our axioms.
So we are maminim. Now, here's the fascinating thing. Once we are maminim, this is what he's saying. It's very true in life. It's very, very fascinating. Once you are a maimin, then you can go further. And there's bina. You can see Hashem's hanhaga. And I now understand why this had to happen, why that happens. There's an outgrowth. Because I start off upon a foundation of accepting belief in the Ribbono Shel Olam and Hatzur Tamim Pa'olo, that allows me to open up my mind to understand new insights into the way Hashem conducts his world. But if you don't have that basic fact, you have not established the Chochmah, a person he struggles with his Emunah, he's not going to be able to see Hashgacha Pratis. You know, there are certain people, they always wowed when they see at Hashgacha Pratis. I can't believe this happened. I cannot believe you happened to be here at this time in this place. They're overwhelmed. They're overwhelmed in what they see. Why? And then there are people, big deal. Wow, you happen to meet them on the bus, happen to over here, this, that. And it's water off a duck. It's like, big deal. Why is this person, that acknowledgement of this Hashgacha Pratis is in the category of Bina. You're able to see new things. Why does this person react and this person just passes by him? Is because this person has the foundation of Chochmah. What's the Chochmah? Emunah Pshuta in the Ribbono Shel Olam. The other person doesn't have that Emunah Pshuta. He's lacking. If you don't have the foundation, you'll never come to have an appreciation of the Hashgacha Pratis of Bina. That's what the Malbim is saying. In the world of science, there are givens. Then you can go for your PhD. Your PhD is Vegeder Bina. If your PhD is accepted, then your PhD will become part of the Chochmah. But in the meantime, your PhD is Bina. In the world of Ruchnius, the Chochmah is the established fact of Emunah. After you have the foundation of Emunah, then you can go and you can extrapolate, you can see the workings of Hashem, the Yad Hashem, in the world. But if you don't have the foundation, then you're in a lot of trouble. Next, further in the Malbim, it's the third line from the bottom. He's going into the concept of das. I don't have a clear translation of every word he says. Well, I'm running out of time also. But das is something which davar she'ein lo bo yidia beru. It's not clear. Kmo devarim shehisig b'chushav. That like things which you sense, but it lacks clarity. Aval chugi hachochma lo yedo eme atzmai, rak mishu novin v'chokar b'chugi hachochma lohavin, to understand davar mitoch davar hu yagia bom l'chlal das sheyeda yedira berura. Okay, what does that mean exactly? Let's go further. V'alze omar novin v'yedo em. So it seems to be saying is that Chochmah, he's trying to explain the difference between Chochmah and Das. Chochmah is something which a person doesn't need to work on. Okay. It's a world of knowledge that a person, that's a given. It's accepted. 1 + 1 = 2. You don't need to sweat. You don't need to sweat to come to that conclusion. That's Chochmah. Das is the same exact thing. The result is the same. But the difference is the way I reached clarity, that it's a given, is only through effort. So this is it's a novel idea. He's coming to tell you a very, very powerful insight. What is the difference? What is the difference? And he asked, stop the person on a street and ask them, explain to me the difference between the term chokhma and the term das.
Yeah, but you never get the same answer from
two different commentators. You'll never get the same answer. Exactly. But let's.
Just like you don't get when they try to define intelligence and they all break it out into components and this.
Exactly. Okay, but this is what the Malbim appears to be saying, that in his understanding, we have two terms. We have a term of Chochmah and a term called Das. What is the difference between the two? The Malbim appears to be saying, when the day is over, they're exactly the same. They're both what we call established facts. Chochmah is an established fact, and Das is an established fact. 1 + 1 is Chochmah, and let's make believe for a third grader, for a second grader, 5 + 5 = 10. So 5 + 5, I don't know what age group that's a chiddush to them. When a child is able, let's say you're in first grade, you have an appreciation that 5 + 5 = 10. So now when he's much younger, you can appreciate 1 + 1 = 2. Do you have to sweat to come to that conclusion that 1 + 1 = 2? No, I understand, that's a given. Do I have the ultimate clarity in my mind that 5 + 5 = 10? Yes. The clarity in my mind that 5 + 5 = 10 is exactly the same degree of clarity as 1 + 1 = 2. But 1 + 1 = 2 is called Chochmah. 5 + 5 is called Das. Why?
It took me
effort. It took effort. I didn't understand that immediately. I had to go through the steps, appreciate that if 1 + 1 = 5, when you go through the steps, you come to realize that 1 + 1 = 2, then 5 + 5 = 10. I appreciate it took mental exertion to go through the steps to reach that conclusion. But when the day is over, to me, it's clear as a bell that 1 + 1 = 2, 5 + 5 = 10, exactly the same. This is called Chochmah, this is called Das. Das is the clarity you achieve after you go through the effort of Novoin, Mavin, Dover, Mitoch Dover to reach that conclusion. That's an approach. That's a very powerful idea in the Malbim to explain the difference between these two terms. Ata Chonein Le'odam Das. According to the Malbim, what does that mean? Hashem bestows upon a person das. I guess it means the ability. Doesn't mean the ability to reach das. To infer. You give a person the ability to reach that level. But to get to that level, what do? Choneinu me'itcha chochma bina v'das. Grant me chochma bina. What does it say in the Sakash? I'm a little confused already. V'haskel. Deya, choneinu me'itcha deya bina v'haskel. So is deya the same thing as das? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Ato chonel adam das. Das means the ability to be able to reach a conclusion. And how am I going to get there? Chonel miyitcha deya. So deya maybe means build upon what you already have achieved. Bina. And go further. Maybe w talked over. And apply seichel. You have to play with it. You have to play with it according to the Malbim. Obviously, when you open up a perush, a siddur, you can have many perushim, but this is at least appears to be what the Malbim was saying. Let's go further. Now, first comes, Novin comes Yedoim. All of the complaints men has against Hashkacha, Mimash, Reim, Tzadik, Veraloi, Verosh, Vetovloi, he follows in the same approach as the Radak. All of man's complaints in this world are rooted in the theme of Tzadik Vira Loi. It all comes down to that. Okay, this is go speak to Freud. If you go into the depth of a person's mind, Everything is rooted in deep, deep down the person's subconscious. It bothers him. It bothers him, this problem in this world, which Moshe Rabbeinu, the Chacham Mikol Adam, even more wise than Shlomo HaMelech, he asked Hashem, I got one question for you, Hashem. Tzadik v'raloi, hodieni no es dirochecha. Tzadik v'raloi. It all comes down to this question. Okay,
in that phrase,
a person does not understand. There is an evil in the way the world is conducted, and there is no hashkacha with regard to reward and punishment. However, a person who is accustomed to the laws of the Chachma of Hashem, Oz Yavin V'Yeda, he will understand and know Shedarkei Hashem Mitzad Atzmam Hemo Yishorim. A person will have the faith to acknowledge that Hashem's ways are just. V'Sharoya Haseda Hanid Melanu Mitzad Hamun Hagim. And the reason why it appears from our perspective to be unjust, it's because Shehapoishim Yikoshlu Behadrochim because people are not with the program. The people, their conduct is not correct. There's nothing wrong with the derech. The problem is with the people. Only the people who are traveling on the road. They are not making their strides correct. They go on the right path. This pasuk is being said to the complainers. Al hagolos, the those who complain, why do we are stuck in such a long galus? Why does Hashem punish His nation? It appears that Hashem has abandoned the Jewish people to hefker. The wise and understanding people understand. Everything has a reason. That's the closing words of the Malbim, the closing words of Hoshea. We have to have emunah pshuta, just like what the Radak says. That's really his final message. Okay, so let me just wind down. We're out of time. Just want to point out one thing before we conclude. Okay, we're not going to do anything more because we're out of time. We're going to go tomorrow to Yoel. But I just want to point out, look at the Mari Karo. Look what he says. The Mari Karo, the last line. Nishlam Perush Sefer Hoshea. Bo Kol Yomai Esh Ta Asheya. The Mari Karo says, my entire life I took delight. The word Esh Ta Asheya means delight. It was delicious. The Mari Karo says, this was my favorite Sefer. My entire life, I always came back to focus on the beautiful words of Hoshea. It's a source of comfort. Like we mentioned, why? Because in Hoshea are the harshest words of Musar. And yet, in the Hoshea are the most beautiful words of comfort. As we learned these last couple of psukim. So why not? It's the biggest challenge. Okay, are you up to the challenge? There are certain svarim which are easy, okay, for beginners. And then when you advance to higher levels, the more of a connoisseur, the more of a mumcha you are, the more pleasure you have in taking on a challenge. And the rewards of appreciating the barachos and the comfort are that much greater. So it's powerful words. From all the first we conclude the Sefer, not too many of them. We learned almost all of them over here on the page. No one really has a... sign off. The only one, at least on the page, that signs off on Sefer Hoshea is the Ma'ari Kara.
With a rhyme.
What?
With a rhyme.
With a rhyme also. And I think it's something we should take time. We spent so much time learning Sefer Hoshea. Okay, we spent quite a bit of time. And I mean, the Rabbi Eliezer, Mi Bojan Si. He winds down a little bit of the Elohim David Rachel Mishavi Ella Achelim Mehem Toy Mikarim. Hoshea Yachazarbo, the Yoel Ben Pesuel Yavo. He signs off Hoshea, sit down. Yoel, stand up. It's a bit funny how he signs off, but it's very satisfying. Satisfying the way the Mari Kadosh signs off. We should always remember this, that boy kol yomai esh Hoshea, to take delight in the beautiful words of Musar, of Hoshea, to take delight in the beautiful words of comfort, and also to take delight in his challenge. So also, who speaks about the challenge? I think really the art scroll. One of them wrote the art scroll. I like what he did. He actually wrote, the end of Hoshea is a challenge. Sometimes you go out of a shir, and the Rebbe says, the shir is over, I want to leave you with a challenge. I have a question. Something to think about. Come back next week, we'll discuss it. That is what Hoshea's sign-off is. I challenge you. I challenge you to achieve emuna pshuta. That's what I'm challenging you to recognize. Do you really understand me, Chacham V'yavin Eilu Davim Yedin? Do you really understand this concept that tzaddik v'raloi, Rasha, even though we suffer in this world, that's what all comes down to. Tzaddik v'raloi, Rasha v'toivlo. Are you willing to really stand up and acknowledge ki yisharim darchei Hashem, to have that emuna pshuta? That's quite a challenge. That's a real, real challenge. That's his sign off. It's something to take delight in. Tam v'nishlam sefer Hoshea miyirtza Hashem. Tomorrow we will begin sefer Yoel. Mazel tov.